Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you praise for your mercies that endureth forever. Thank you for the privilege to be able to bring us your word again this morning. Thank you for your presence that is right here. We are trusting you that as we open the word, you will cause our face to behold you. Cause our eyes to behold your face and let us see you clearly as you are. In the name of Jesus. Lord, the responsibility of bringing the children to you is rested on our shoulders. Help us not to fail you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. My topic this morning is, let the children come. Let the children come. Turn with me your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19 from verse 13 to 14. Matthew 19, 13 to 14. Actually, this topic came to my heart about 3 years ago in one of those 3 days waiting on the Lord I was embarking on with my wife. As the Lord was dealing with us in that particular room, he called my attention to this portion of the scriptures, and we had to begin to repent afresh. Matthew chapter 19 from verse 13 to 14 says, I'm reading from the NIV version. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. I don't know how that will be very interesting or how nice you will want to see Jesus lay his hands upon your children. I'm sure it is something every parent will want. If you really understand implications, when we say that the hand of God is upon a child, you will know that it's a very big deal. I thought the apostles and the disciples would be excited seeing that something is about to come upon the next generation of leaders. But unfortunately, something happened in the second part of that scripture. The Bible says, but. And every time you see a but, it means a contradiction. While heaven was rejoicing that these people were wise enough to bring their children so that the hand of God can be rested upon them, it was so disappointing that it was the disciples who said, but the disciples rebuked them. But the disciples rebuked them. The disciples prevented them. The disciples did not allow them. Ladies and gentlemen, if this prevention came from the people of the world, I would understand it. If this blockage came from men who don't know the value of the hands of Jesus, I will understand. But the Holy Spirit brought my attention to the fact that the people that stopped this thing or this great thing from happening were disciples. The people that resisted this move were disciples. But thank God Jesus wouldn't allow them. Thank God it doesn't matter, even if it was the pastor stopping them. Thank God the pastor is not Jesus. Listen. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, which means you keep following me until you get to a point. If I stop following Christ, you have a right to stop following me. Ladies and gentlemen, many individuals' lives have been wrecked by disciples. Unfortunately, Many leaders in church, many pastors have wrecked the lives of children. Wrecked the lives of people that follow them. But we must realize that before he became a man of God, he was first a man. So you don't follow a man detrimental to your dealings with God. And that is why in this church, if you've not seen it, you will soon see that my main and sole purpose is to expose you to Jesus himself directly. There are many things my words will be limited to bring to you. I will bring to you based on the things the Lord had given me. But I want to tell you, they are not exhaustive. It is Jesus' aim and plan that men like me who stand on the altar will be able to give men access to him directly. Whilst you are standing on the altar, your duty is not to obscure Christ. You must have observed that my greatest burden in heart or at heart is to see that I am taking off the pulpit, I am taking off the way so that men can have access to Jesus directly. What is religion? You need to know that many religions, all of them were founded by men. I hope you know. These were men's machinations. So in this scripture, we still see it again. Children that should be allowed to come directly to Jesus so that his hands can be put on them for greater things. The disciples said no. Could it be that we as Christians are doing the same thing today? Why we want to blame the disciples? Could it be that church people are still making that same mistake today? Could it be? But thank God for what Jesus said. Jesus said in verse 14, let the little children come to me. Someone say, let the children. Let the little children come to me. I am so glad that Jesus said this. Several times in scriptures, we have seen it everywhere. Men obscuring the very nature of God. I wish you knew how it was before. Do you know that before there was no Bibles, the way we have it? Only a select few had these things. In those synagogues, we had scrolls that were handled by the high priest alone. It was not in your room. How can you say it? It can't be in your room. It was in a particular synagogue. Hallowed. Revered. And so anything these guys came to tell you, you believed it because there is no way to cross-check. Oh, in one particular chapter, I think Matthew 23, Jesus kept on using the word woe to the Pharisees. Why? Why? Because they were obscuring his very nature. He kept on saying, woe to the Pharisees. Woe to this. Woe to the... Why? Because these men knew that they had the scroll in their possession. So they were obstructing men from seeing the true picture of Christ. I am not bothered about the Pharisees today. I am not bothered about the disciples today. I am bothered that Christians today, all over the world, still obscure children from coming to Jesus. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as this. I want to repeat that verse again. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Note the following points quickly. Many religions strategically spend quality time discipling children so that they need not worry about their perpetuity. Note this, parents. In the world today, many religions, other religions, spend quality time discipling a child so that they need not worry about perpetuity. If you know our cousins, you will discover that there is something they call ilekewu. I think some of you here used to be Muslims before you got here, right? Have you observed that ilekewu is not for adults? Who are they for? What is the idea? Discipleship. Oh, there is a video we need to go and see on YouTube. You need to go and watch El Buba's documentary on this violence happening. You need to go and watch it. I will share it on our group. You need to go and watch it. He will explain how from the age of 5 or 6 or 7, he became exposed to these things. So that before 10, 11, their hearts are made up already. Their hearts are shaped. But when it comes to Christians, we find it difficult. We find it difficult to expose these children to these truths. You know why? It's the same thing the disciples did. They are children. I wish I had time, because obviously we don't have all the time. I would have pointed you to 1 Samuel 17 from verse 28 to 33. 1 Samuel 17, 28 to 33. You will see there that David suddenly came to battle. The brothers who were soldiers were doing many things, but the Philistines, they kept on threatening. If you have the mind, bring someone who can face me. Goliath was boasting. And I will destroy them. And if I destroy him, you will be our servants. If he destroys him, it was happening for 40 days. Everybody, including Saul, was afraid. And this little boy called David got to the battle and heard it and said, I can take care of this. He now asked, what shall be done to the man who does what? Who can finish these Philistines? These uncircumcised Philistines. Go to verse 33. 1 Samuel 17, 33. I want to show you something there. 1 Samuel 17, 33. If you are there, please read for me. And Saul said to David, when he was finally brought to Saul, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Why? For thou art but a what? Talk to me. But thou art but a what? And he a man of war from his youth. I can spend time to explain this, but I can do a series on this for 1 month. Do you realize that Saul was telling David, the man you want to fight has been a man of war from his youth? And you are talking to a youth who says, I want to start my career in warfare. You say, no, don't start. But this man, are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting me? This man has been a warrior from his youth. I am a youth. I want to now enroll. You say, no, you are too small. I gave my life to Christ at 10. I began to pray in tongues at 10. I became very mature, because the Bible talks about the Holy Scriptures that is able to make a man wise. Before 10, my mom began to ensure that I was participating in vigils. Oh my God. Those days, my dad will be wondering, why are you this woman? Why are you stressing this student? My mom said, no. 2 a.m., she will bring us out. And whether I knew what I was doing or not, she kept on insisting. I think I was less than 10 when I was exposed to my first 3 days dry fasting. Oh my God, I thought I would die. No, I died and resurrected. Because this woman did not tell us what we're about to embark on. She just carried myself, my siblings, just took us, say, let's go to one camp. We enter the bus. Before you know, we found ourselves in a mountain of fire. And you know, once you enter that place, how many of you have gone there before? You know, you redeem, there's a way they pamper you, redeem. If you enter there, it's like a garrison, it's like a barracks. I hated my mom. I said, this woman is wicked. You are very heartless. 3 days. Dry. I said dry. Like dry, dry. No water. Oh, you need to see where we are going to brush our teeth. We are looking for the water. Why? Don't go to hell. Oh. If they say no water in hell, you don't need to be there. Oh. Avoid hell. By all means. That's an aside. I hated this woman for these disciplines. How many parents can stand their children go through the rigor of spiritual disciplines? Don't fight him. He has been a warrior from his youth. But you don't want to expose this youth to the same rigors. What made Goliath efficacious or efficient at this age? It was because he started from his youth. Those children attending in Lake, you need to see where they are reciting the Quran. And your children don't know scriptures and you are comfortable.
Junior, you want pizza? We watched the drama here, I remember. Junior, take it easy. And I'm like laughing. Are you aware that one of the most potent witches are usually they start by five? Do you know? But parents, we are very weary at five. Ha! I can imagine my wife. Baby, you want to kill our child? You want to kill the girl? You want to kill her? At five. A witch is very potent at five. At five, they can kill anybody. Are you aware? But Christian children are dons. Even at 17, they don't know anything. There is a burden in my heart for this generation. At five, he can fly, she can fly, she can do things. But at five, when I tell you, let us put your children through fasting, 6 to 6. Pastor, won't you kill? Won't the child die, sir? Won't the child die? That's what you start saying. Nations of the world recruit major Olympic athletes as children. Serious nations of the world, when they want to recruit children or recruit athletes, they start at childhood. I have a friend who is in Australia, small children. He tells me, I take them to swimming. They go to swimming competition, swimming classes. Small children, 5, 7, 9. I'm telling you, they go for swimming competition. If you want to be a footballer, you start early. If you want to be a pilot, you start early. You start flying. That is how serious nations behave. Because they know if you lose this child at this age, you've lost him forever. Imagine telling me to come and do gymnastics. This one they do. You know this one they do like this. Even as I'm doing, I'm already suspecting that if I'm not careful. I had a colleague. We had an Olympics, something like a game in the office. And this lady, one of my very junior colleagues, she was one of those cheerleaders. And when I was watching that video, I saw her opening her laps like this. Wow. I said, how did you do this? And she smiled. I knew she started from very small. Her laps are already used to being what? Expanded. Try it. If you try it, they will admit you. I'm not joking. You know why? You have caked. You are now, is it Okporoko? You know Okporoko? Stockfish. It will take a lot to make your body what? Flexible. I remember as a young boy, I could do, what's it called? Backflip. All those. Is it backflip you call it? If you didn't learn it then. No, I didn't do this one. I could do the front one. If you didn't learn it then, you can't try it now. If you try it, my brother, if you try it, hospital straight. Check Messi, Ronaldo. All those people, they started early. It is better to train a child than to change an adult. Let me quickly rush. No time. Why do we prevent children from meeting Jesus? Because I asked myself, why? Why would the disciples that I revered so much, why would they do that? Number one, the assumption that children don't know so much. Hey, no time to expand on this. Your children can teach you. There are some things you are hiding from them. They will teach you. You don't know. We have gone beyond information age. Every information you need is available. Are you aware? Do you know with your phone, every information is available? Anything you need is available. With the advent of AI, oh my God, if it's not available, you can create it. Number two, the assumption that they are too weak to do anything. Number three, the assumption that children teachers and pastors will do the work. Why do we prevent children from meeting Jesus? That's what I'm explaining. The assumption that children, teachers, and pastors, they will do the work. Pastor will teach them. Oh my God, I have been a leader in the youth ministry for so long. Many parents have called me to hand over their children to me. Oh, I wish parents knew that I have seen a young lady who told us that the person that practically disvirgined her was a pastor that was handed over. The parents say, what do you call pastor in Yoruba again? Oruko Abi? Oluko? Olusho? The Olusho, they handed over the girl to. Olusho, you know when you give yam to goats? You want to give Olusho your child? Let me leave you. No time. We don't have all the time. The assumption that children, teachers, and pastors will do the work. Olusho chop the picking. They give. You've never seen anything. Number four, the assumption that avoiding responsibility will protect them. That was what Saul was doing. He's a small boy. Let him not fight him. He will kill himself. It's a genuine love, but those love will not help them grow. For several years, my parents were not around. I'm the first in my house. I became the father to my children, my siblings. I learned responsibility early. I knew that at 12, 13, if I get home on a weekly service day and my siblings were still playing football, it becomes a problem. They knew. Once I hit the gate, everybody knew at 14. They knew you must be set for church. My own school was farthest. So when they come back from school, eat. Make sure you are prepared. The moment I get back home, we are leaving for church. It didn't start today. 14. At 14, I began to take responsibility for my church in those days. I came to church. I saw that the church was dwindling in attendance. At 14, I told adults, let's start praying for this church. My mom had taught me to become a dynamite in the spirit. So at 14, I engaged adults, told them every Friday night we are meeting in people's house to pray. At 14. I did it so well, the bishop of the church then said they wanted to make me a pastor at 14. My mom said no. The boy is too small. But I knew, because I had been groomed spiritually, I knew spiritual things early. So it wasn't surprising that I turned out certain ways. It's not surprising. The things your children are turning out to, is not, don't be forming. Why are you surprised? It's what you sow, you are seeing. Why are you surprised? People behaving as if, pastor, let me not go in, there's no time. Pastor, this is my child, you know they hear what? And I asked her one day, which church does your husband attend? He says, sir, no, he doesn't attend church. He doesn't want to attend church. You want your children, three boys, to attend church. Come on, stop playing now. Stop joking. I saw my dad leave for church every morning on Sundays by 6. I have what is called spiritual heritage. So I knew I can't go late to church because I saw my dad doing it. 6 o'clock, he was out. He was head usher those days. My dad is still not usher till today. Usher. He'll be 70 by December. He's still an usher till today. Today, he's still an usher. He will still usher today in his church. The assumption that everyone is waiting for them to grow. This is the biggest lie I've seen. The assumption that the whole world is waiting for your children to grow. So they don't want to teach them bad things. Leave them, they are a baby. Let them grow more. Listen. If you refuse to plant in your child, Satan has other plans for her. If you refuse to invest in your children, Satan has other plans. I can ask the ladies here, you'll be surprised, except very few. Your mom didn't know when you started menstruating. Your mom was thinking, still a baby girl. Still a baby. Until she asked you, the day she was going to explain to you, now say, mommy, no, it has started happening. The woman will almost want to faint. For the men, your dad didn't know when you took your first cigarette. He was saying, my boy is a small boy. Meanwhile, your guys in school are already giving you cigarettes to smoke. Your dad is saying, he's a small boy, leave him. So quickly, let's go practical steps to introducing children to Jesus. Practical steps, quickly. One, parents must deliberately lead by example. I don't want to overflog this. Don't tell your children to do what you are not doing. Don't tell a child to do what you're not doing. Children will do what they see you do more than what they hear you say. I repeat, children will do what they see you do more than what they hear you say. I gather people in my house these days and we pray for 24 hours. It was just recently I began to think through it. I remember that my mom and my parents used to gather people in our houses. As a secondary school boy, I come home, I see people groaning in my parlor. I say, no wonder. The moment God gave me some little space, the first thing that came to mind is not to start partying. Oh, we want to party. We have space. Everybody come and party. No, no. What came to my mind was to gather men. Men who groan. No wonder. No wonder. It's not because they told me. It's not because I attended church. No. It was because I saw my mom groan. I saw my dad groan. They gathered people. No wonder I began to gather people. They will do what you do, Sam, beyond what you say. I can't remember my mom teaching us, you must pray. Pray when you wake. No. When I got into the university, I knew on Sunday was a holy day. My parents were not there, but it's not possible for me not to go to church on Sunday. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. I knew an invisible eyes was watching me. Whether they were there or not, I knew. I knew. Lead by example. Number two, parents must intentionally pray for the children and lead them to Christ. All my kids you see here have given their lives to Christ. I don't know how many times. My son has been giving his life. He has been giving. Even he has given one again here since we came here. He has given. You know why? Intentionally, I lead them to Christ. I have asked them, are you born again? Do you know what it means to be born again? I know they may not even understand it, but I keep telling them, this is a way to live. You must pray for your children. If not for my mom's prayer, let me not go into that matter. Three, parents must deliberately make out time to listen and understand the children. One of these days, we'll do something in this church. I will want us to discuss what are the mistakes you think your parents made concerning you. I need you to think and speak. We'll do it one of these days. I don't know when, but we'll do it. It's something I'm planning. One of these unusual services, we'll just do it. I have done it somewhere. That service was a teary one. People were crying. Guys, you know that your father was a hard man. You know what I'm saying? You know that you couldn't discuss with your father. Your father was so tough. He was the lion of the tribe of your house. Sir, if you don't think through it and deliberately change it, you will repeat the same. You will repeat it. You know why? Abused people abuse people. Something I found out. We don't have all the time. Number four, parents must intentionally disciple the children through scriptures. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. I'm ending here because of time. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Parents must intentionally disciple the children through scriptures. Can you please give me 2 Timothy 3 verse 15? That's the last place. The last we'll do today, please. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. I read, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From infancy, you have known the holy scriptures. What does your children know? What do your children know? Have you taught them the Holy Scriptures? Have you lived it out? Can they look at you and say, the one I senior directly, my younger brother, told someone one day, when they were asking, who is your mentor? I was still a youth core member. He was in 200 level. He told him, my mentor is Victor, my elder brother. How did I live life that made my younger brother call me a mentor? It is because in the absence of daddy and mommy, everybody took dressing. You knew you couldn't do nonsense. We are four boys in the house. So don't tell me it's because we are boys. Boys could do a lot of rubbish. I had the house to myself. And you know what boys do at that level, secondary school. But I was too deep in God. Too deep. Too soaked in fire. The problem, the issue they were having was I was dragging everybody in fasting. Everybody. I held the food. Nobody will eat. You will pray. I will give you, you will go and study Joshua chapter 1 to 5. You will come and summarize it for me and then while we are breaking our fast during holidays. I held everybody with iron fists for Jesus. Everyone, including my sister, everyone was held. So when he grew, he saw life. He said, no, no. There is something my brother knew. Can you close your eyes this morning? Can you ask the Lord to give us Christian homes? Christian homes. Christian homes. Men who fear God. Can you ask the Lord, say, Father, please give us Christian homes. And peradventure, you are in service today. You don't know Jesus. You can't even do what I'm saying. It's not for you at all. So I want to see you raise your hands. I want to pray for you. You are the one I want to pray for. If you are here, you don't even know Jesus. You don't even know Jesus. That means you don't even have a base to start from. Please raise your right hand up. I want to pray for you. Where you are seated, comfortably raise your right hand. I want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, because without the knowledge of Christ, you can't do exploits. You don't know him. So you can't even know. You don't even know how to guide your children. Can you make that your prayer? Tell him, Jesus, give us Christian homes. Homes where Jesus is king. Homes where Jesus is king. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.